This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Number 41.
So did you get the 40s that you promised us last week?
I did, actually.
Really?
Oh,
are you serious?
Sweet.
Woo!
Goddamn right.
That's
I'm a
badass.
Man of my word.
Here, pass them out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
40s.
40 ounces of freedom, baby. Check it out.
Okay.
We just know how to live around here, man.
Another follow-up. What's up with your finger?
It's still in one piece. I thought the nail was going to fall off, but now I just look like a goth kid.
Oh, sweet.
It's just black. It's black and cracked in half.
That's awesome. Thanks for the 40, man.
You're welcome. I wanted a reason to bust out
my goddamn...
Yeah,
Dr. Dre. 40-ounce beer koozie.
Oh, what? That's a real thing?
Yeah,
that's
I wasn't so cool. Kidding, dude. I wasn't kidding at all.
That kicks ass. I got a Twisted Tea in one hand and a 40-ounce in the other. I'm white trash.
It's Dre Day, bitch.
I got my coffee and 40.
Coffee and
40? I got to balance out the depressants and stimulants. It's my favorite type of way.
It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, in case you have not found out yet. You clicked on it.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you know what's up. Hope you enjoyed last week's episode with, of course, Chris Barnes from 6 Feet Under. That was fucking sweet having him up here.
Shout out to the Seahawks. You know, big loss, as I unfortunately predicted last week. Ian lost $400 on the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's how it went down.
Whiffer. But, you know, it was a good season and all that stuff, you know. And the Patriots, period.
Those guys are real fucking pieces of work, man.
Pieces of garbage.
Edelston, you're an ass.
Bitch mode? Get out of here, you motherfucker.
Yeah, who is that? Blount?
Blunt.
LeGarrette Blunt.
Smoke a blunt with that motherfucker's ashes.
Who are you? Like, you suck. You fucking suck. You're not even close to as good as Marshawn Lynch.
And plus, half your team has sex with really sketchy girls on Tinder that suck ass.
Yeah. I really...
Edelman.
Max knows a thing or two about that.
As soon as he goes, it was a Tinder moment, I was like, he knows.
He's Tinderizing.
That's in your sketch realm.
So what's up? How's your week's been? Max Long first. How's your week been, dude?
Man, it's actually been really chill.
Really?
Smoking a lot of weed. I finally signed all the paperwork to that weed shop I now work for.
So he works for a 502. You are the man.
I am the man, yeah. I sell legal weed.
You are the law.
Do you guys keep a really good track of like how much you guys sell and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. That's real.
Real
close.
Good.
Close attention to that.
16-year-old me is really stoked, but like right now me... is just really happy to have another job.
And it's just like, oh, I need to pay my rent.
Yeah. What pays better, like legal shops or not legal shops?
The legal
like
shop.
For people who work there.
I mean, I started out higher than I did at the medical shop, definitely.
Just depends, man. I mean, like, most bud tenders don't make that much money, really.
It's usually
12 to 15 bucks. If not. And if it's more than that, you're in a good place.
You're in a very good place if you're making more than that.
I saw that there's something going on at like Numo. It's called the Bud Tenders Ball.
Really?
With some pretty good bands. Washed Out, kind of like a weird electronic like really spacey band. So I'm assuming that everyone's just gonna get high as and watch some cool stuff
they
at
will.
Numos.
I mean, I went to a party for the shop last night, and they're giving out goodie bags full of weed. So I think that's a good indicator of how it might start.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you all, the people you meet makes a big difference. You get a lot of free stuff, connections. It's a good life.
It's like when I worked at the record store. I wasn't making much money, but I was meeting a ton of people, and it just made sense that I worked for Metal Shop and did the record store. I met so many cool people that we ended up, I mean, you know, like just for instance, Dusty Peterson. We met him through the record store, and you know, it's just made a lot of cool connections. So you'll meet some interesting people, and you'll get really high.
Yeah.
Every day.
What are you guys?
This week I woke up a couple days ago to a guy crawling around on my roof.
What? Is this guy trying to break into your house?
No. Well, apparently not. See, the thing is like, my neighbor's tree, like, fell over and knocked off, like, some of the bricks off of my chimney.
Yeah.
And apparently this guy next to my house and my landlord have been having, like, a weird little back and forth. The guy just bought the house next to me. I don't own the house that I'm in, so I don't really give a shit. It's not. I just don't want to be in the middle of it, you know what I mean?
For sure.
And so this guy, like, just bought his house. I get it. He, like, probably just has brand new homeowner's insurance or whatever, and he's not trying to pay some deductible to come get it fixed. So I walk out there, and there's a ladder up on my roof. I didn't see the guy at first, and I'm just like, who the fuck is crawling around up there, you know? Like, someone out ahead. I would just assume it was my landlord or something, and he just left the ladder there. So I go grab my garbage cans, and I come back as I'm walking back up the street. I see the guy crawling off the fucking ladder, and I'm like, who are... And he looks hella, like, sketchy and homeless. His hair is all fucked up and greasy, and he's wearing fucking ratty-ass clothes. So I just think some guy's crawling around on my roof. And I have my sidearm on, because I usually have it on anytime I walk out the front door. And so I'm like, who the fuck are you? You know? And I scared the shit out of him right off the bat, you know what I mean? And he was like, yeah, I'm with, you know, the neighbor. He said to come do this, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, my landlord didn't tell me anybody was coming over, you know? And he just assured me, you know, they worked it out. And so I was like, okay, go ahead and go back up there. So he goes back up there and starts chainsawing the tree down.
And you shoot him.
Right. And
I'm just kidding.
He's dead now. I buried him in the backyard.
Yeah.
But I called my landlord and he was like, no, he didn't ever say that he was going to come over. They never said they were going to do anything. So basically what that means is that my brand new neighbor just had some guy that was like, yeah, go ahead and climb up on that guy's house that I don't know and see what happens. And I just asked the guy, I was like, if I took that ladder that you have right now and walked two blocks down the street and set it on the side of some guy's house and climbed up on the fucking roof, what do you think would happen? What do you think would happen? Somebody would probably come out and go, what the fuck are you doing on my roof? Which is exactly what I did. And they were giving me all kinds of shit about it. So I just, I don't know. That's one thing that I had to deal with.
How is he not
week.
Dead?
I don't know, man. I just don't fucking... So
that guy.
Some people, I just don't understand how their brains work. And I had to be like, hey, man, you know, I got a fucking doorbell. You could have just walked over and been like, hey, man, I'm just going to go trim the tree. It's that fucking easy, you know? Instead, I have to worry about some dude trying to break into my house or like, you know? And I live in a sensitive area. I do sensitive things in my house. So it's my fucking fortress, you know? It's my man cave.
You watch romantic comedies?
My rom-coms are locked away in a vault, and if you fucking touch my copy of Love Actually, I'll shoot you in the face.
You bastard.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to watch Bridget Jones' Diary in peace. While I massage my hands with essential oils.
So, I mean, like, what would you do? Some guy's just crawling around on your roof. What are you doing on my... Get off my fucking roof!
Did you move the ladder when you first saw it? You're like, oh, this is here. Let's take it away.
Well, the first time he got up there, I was like, dude, get off my roof. Like, don't get back up on my roof. And he came back over and knocked on the door and was like, hey, man, I just talked to the homeowner. Just let me, do what I was doing. And I was like, okay. At first, though, I was like, if I see you crawl back up on the roof, I'm going to steal your ladder and call the cops.
Uh-oh.
So you're just going to be stuck on the roof.
Uh-oh.
But as soon as I was like, hey, my landlord's going to come over and we're going to figure it out, he was like, yep. And he packed up his chainsaw, got in his truck, and drove the fuck out of there. It was just super weird. So my neighbor is just a weird guy, apparently. He looks like Louis C.K.
Okay.
We call him Louis.
Nice.
I don't really know what his name is.
I'm not getting good vibe from Louis already.
Yeah, Louis sounds like a... Louis, I'm a big fan and supporter of, you know, making your own rules. I love doing that.
Yeah.
But it's not a good move at Ian's house to just go crawling around. Don't fucking look in my windows or crawl in my house. Just don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that to anybody.
That's fair.
But,
all right.
In better news, I went to the Mix down in Georgetown for the first time last night.
How was that?
It's actually really cool. It reminds me of like a mixture of like the Josephine and the Old Paradox, but with like a legit bar.
Oh.
It's got a good stage.
Who'd
it's got
you go see?
I saw Piston Ready, Misha from Witch Burns Band. I just happened to go down there because my buddy Greg just moved into West Seattle.
Cool.
Off Delridge. So we went down there and just checked it out. I'd never been there, and it's a cool place. So
right on.
Check it out if you get a chance.
And you just mentioned the Josephine. That place actually closed down this week.
I know. So I saw that.
It's a bummer. Rest in peace to another awesome all-ages DIY underground venue.
Yeah, and that venue apparently had been slowly and quietly been infiltrated and investigated.
Oh, wow.
So they had,
I had no idea.
Undercovers had shown up to the shows and just, like, stood around and watched. And, you know.
They watched the mosh.
Watched people drink or whatever. But the argument behind the Josephine was always that it was their private residence because people do live there. And every show they had was actually just their private party.
Hmm.
So that's why you could drink there and do whatever you want, really, as long as you're not a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
Really? Wait, but do whatever you want? Like, I get. What?
Yeah, you could have sex with prostitutes while doing intravenous drugs, Max Long.
It sounds like
he's stunned.
It sounds
stunned.
Like an AC.
But not
album
anymore
cover.
Because now it's gone.
Sorry. Today, I went over to the Snoqualmie Falls, hung out with my girlfriend, and we went over to Tweed's Twin Peaks Cafe. And much to my excitement, to my surprise, Jim, the bassist for Sanctuary, the ex-Nevermore bassist, was working there in the kitchen, and he hooked me up with a meal. We hung out. We talked about Sanctuary for a while. He lives a mile away, so him and World Dane actually live over in North Bend, and they record over in... They practice all the time over in Snoqualmie area, and he says it's beautiful, and it was really cool. And, yeah, shout-outs to Jim, Sanctuary, all those that crew.
The new record is good, too.
And he was also talking about how hilariously weird it is to have Brad Hull in the band, because Brad will just meet random people. Like, when they went to Europe, he would just meet these random people, just leave for, like, 7 hours of the day, and they were like, where the fuck is Brad? And he would just show up, like, 10 minutes before... sound check. So he was always fine, and he always showed
he
back
would just
up.
Be gone.
But he would just be gone and have random adventures, and then they were just like, "All right," stopped caring after a while because it's like he'll show up.
He's like, "You said tour? I thought you said vacation."
Yeah.
I guess I'll show up and do my job.
He's like this stray neighborhood dog. Like, you just know he'd be back he's around. Like,
that's awesome.
Where's Brad? I don't know, but he'll always show up. Yay! Right. Show up at the right time. All right, here we go. Here we go. Oh, it's time for some news. And yeah, the news is that I did lose $400 in the Super Bowl last week.
The news is that we got 40s in our hands.
Yes, the week is good. And life goes on. Seahawks football is over for the year.
We got some baseball gearing up soon here. We got some soccer. We do not have basketball.
Nope. don't even bring that up.
And
man.
MMA is year-round.
This week in metal news, one of the first things that popped up last week is that the New Jersey slam band Waking the Cadaver has come to a close.
Interesting part about it, though, is their last show was in Seattle.
Right. On that Dying Fetus Exhumed tour. They haven't been a band since that show. They broke up here.
So they didn't really break up. They just haven't done right.
And I guess they kind of called it. Quote, there's no bad blood with members or anything. We're all just busy living lives and are unable to commit to the demands of being in this band. Who knows? Maybe in a couple years we'll jam again.
Sometimes wiggers got to hold down their construction jobs.
Wiggers got a wig. The new Napalm Death record is awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Apex Predator Easy Meat. It's out now on Century Media. They checked in from the road this week. They're going to be coming on the 18th in Seattle. And they've been doing pretty good with their record charting positions. They're highest in Germany at number 36 for them.
Damn.
And at the U.S., they are number 113 on the Billboard Top 200.
Underneath.
Napalm Death.
132 Katy Perry digital singles.
And in the U.S. New Artist Top 50, they're number 2.
Nice.
I don't know who's number 1.
They're a new artist.
Right. Hey, we're new band. Check out this. I don't know, whatever.
Emerging artists. That's like... That's like when Snoop Dogg were to win like best new rapper at the Grammys or something.
Someone goes, I've never heard of this band before. They're new.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Go see Napalm Death, man.
Technically, Snoop Lion could win best new artist.
I think he probably was up for it at some point in the Grammys. I stopped giving a shit about that like 15 years ago, though.
Yeah. Well, so an awesome band from Seattle is called Eris. This is X Undertow, X Himsa, and, you know, tons of other bands. These guys are fucking phenomenal, and they have a new record called Of Great Sorrow. You can check out all 10 tracks on SoundCloud. The record is called The Myelin Sheath. Now, records, obviously, not selling as as much as they used to. But if you like what you hear, you can definitely check it out for free. Listen to it, jam it, and then buy it because their vinyl is beautiful. They have all kinds of different colors for all
really
the geeks.
It's really cool to look at, yeah.
And yeah, it's awesome. So they're doing pre-orders. You can check it out. And they're playing a bunch of record release shows. So definitely go to their website, check them out. They just got an Instagram.
Hooray.
So you can follow them and look at all their beards.
Dude, Pettibone's starting to look a little scary, man.
He is.
I gotta say. He just said, f*** it, dude. Haircuts, no more beards.
They just...
I mean, no more beard cuts.
They just did a bunch of shows with that band Extremist, which is the AFI side project.
Oh, really?
Down in California. Yeah, it's like the like straight-edge hardcore mixed with industrial hardcore band that Jade and... what's his name? Davey?
Yeah.
Did. And yeah, the shows look f***ing crazy, man. Aris opened for them, so... They did like two or three, yeah.
Good for them. Cheers, 40s.
And f***ing John Pettibone looks like Bray Wyatt from the WWE, who I'm actually wearing his t-shirt of right now, so.
Let me see. Whoa! Yeah. He totally does, except for Wyatt's definitely way bigger.
I don't think he wears a fedora either.
No, probably not.
John Pettibone's like, my lady.
The lights go down when he walks in the room. Actually, that would make sense. All right, a couple weeks ago, we played one of the songs off the immortal Randy Rhoads Ultimate Tribute record that's coming out. What's the date? March 3rd.
Nice.
We played the, what was the Serge Tankian and who was playing guitar? Oh, Tom Morello.
Yep. Right? That was a really interesting one.
This is the song that I've been most looking forward to, at least this particular grouping of musicians on vocals. It's Chuck Billy, guitars from Testament. Guitars, Alexi Lejo from Children of Bodom.
Sweet.
We got Kelly Rhodes, who is Randy's brother, on keyboards. Rudy Sarzo on bass and Vinny Appice on drums. So keeping it old school and freshening it. Let's hear a little bit of just this for a quick second. Mr. Crowley. Sorry, I should have mentioned that before now. The ultimate Randy Rhoads tribute.
Yeah!
Get those keys, baby.
It's like Scarface's opening.
What?
Mr. Crowley!
There's that Chuck Billy sound.
Great singing voice.
Whoa, way better than Serge.
Probably better than Ozzy in some of his off days.
I think he's more coherent. Sweet. I bet some people will love this on the show.
I'm pretty pumped on it.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, we'll stop it here, but it goes on to like some pretty ass-ripping solos from Alexi. So that's cool.
Pretty ass.
Paying homage to some guitar.
Damn, girl, you got a pretty ass.
Get that pretty ass there.
Pretty ass shreds.
So Walls of Jericho is a band that, honestly, I had no idea still existed.
I just going to say the exact same thing.
They've been broken up, or not broken up, but kind of just haven't done anything for years.
They haven't been around.
Yeah, for probably at least 5 to 6 years. I know that they got pretty big there for a while. They toured with Korn on the Family Values tour. But Walls of Jericho has now inked a deal with Napalm Records, a big metal label.
Oh, yeah.
That puts out, you know, everything from our favorite band Huntress to what was that other band? The Cataclysm side project.
God damn it. What were they called? I banished it from my memory because that's how much of a give.
Well, Devil Driver's on there now. Anyways, they released a demo track for Restless earlier this year, and they're going to be putting out a full length. So, yeah. So, Detroit, what?
That band was huge when, like, the whole, like, fusion, the metalcore thing was going down.
Metallic hardcore? You mean metalcore?
Metallic hardcore?
Ooh, yeah.
That band that Ryan was talking about last week, Entheos, which is... bass player Evan Brewer from the Faceless Animosity, Naveen, Copervice from Animals as Leaders and Animosity, Frank Costa from Animosity, Chaney Crab from Systems. It's a super group, obviously. They just have two brand new songs that they just played at NAMM in Anaheim.
Nice.
Last weekend. Let me see if this has decent sound. We'll just experiment live here together. How about that?
Ooh.
This isn't it, but... Okay, this is, though. And it's kind of just a drum cam of the dude playing an electronic drum set. Oh, yeah, they are playing it. It's the guitar player, too.
Jen.
Sounds like it's got a lot of different stuff going on.
Right on.
Kind of groovy, and then gets to the blasty stuff. I don't know. They keep teasing us with these really shitty recordings. Give us something good to chew on, or fuck yourself.
Speaking of chewing yourself and fucking yourself and teasing you, D's Nuts.
God damn it.
They're releasing a new album.
Segway of the week again.
And they're on Century Media Records.
This is weird.
The record's called Word is Bond, motherfucker.
Really?
No, it's actually just called Word is Bond. But this is the PR quote from JJ Peters.
Oh, God.
We're not a bunch of fucking dudes who come from privilege. You can hear this. You can feel this. And that's because Word is Bond is a passionate album. And it's their fourth record. It was produced by Andrew from Comeback Kid and Shane from Barrier Dead. It'll be out on Century Records. It'll have at least 64 breakdowns.
Oh, in the first song.
Some rap parts, some beats.
These dudes are from Australia, aren't
they? They'll probably say
Yeah, which is totally...
Which we're going to blink out.
Good. D's Nuts, man. That all, you know, God damn it. That all that means to me, in my reality, as a person who listens to music, is that I'm going to have to fucking see that band on some Century Media package
D's
coming through
nuts.
Seattle.
D's Nuts. I want to chant that at a show.
I'll be at the bar drinking my 40 with my Dr. Dre beer koozie.
I wonder how much action those chicks get. That band gets on tour, and they get to say, "Suck D's Nuts."
Suck what? D's.
I had sex with D's Nuts last night.
I mostly just wanted to bring up the Dagobah and their new record, Tales of the Black Dawn, because how fucking awesome this artwork is.
It's bat-tastic.
It's a bat with its face, like, melted off, so it's just a skull left, like, dripping blood out of its mouth. Pretty awesome.
Nice. So check that out. On to Ian's favorite subject, Phil Labonte and the All That Remainers. This band has positioned themselves as Ian's favorite band in the last couple years.
God damn it.
And Phil Labonte is, of course, completely on track with all of Ian's political and sociopolitical...
See, the f***ed up part is that he and I do have a lot in common, but the way he goes about it, he's just such a f***ing ass.
You guys both like drinking and you both like guns. I think it ends
That's a good point, actually. That's about it. But the reason we even bring it up is because he went on, what was it, MSNBC or CNN or...
Surprised it wasn't
Fox
News.
They had him on there?
They had him on there, and basically, like, the lady, who was actually incredibly respectful, I gotta give her credit, because I would not have been that respectful, kind of called him out on the stuff he said back in 2005 about how PC is for f***s. And all this talking about how the only people that deserve to be offended are black people because they have, you know, dealt with a lot, which, where it's due. All right, so we're not going to play it right now. So what we'll do is we'll just put it the whole thing. It's like 12 minutes long, 11 and a half minutes. We'll just put it at the end of this podcast so you can hear for yourself. And I kind of like, after I was listening to this, I kind of wanted to have All the Remains be like one of those next bands that we just kind of banish. Just because I don't ever want to talk about him or
them
anymore. Honestly,
we don't really need to play him that much because KSW plays him.
Yeah, because they get played on the regular.
They get played
radio
on the station quite a bit. So,
Is it bad
a lot of people
that
who love them,
pull
but
any music out of my
Here's
head?
Here's the thing, like, if you like that band, good for you, whatever. That's a band that got a lot of people into metal. They're a big band. You know, they got a lot of fans.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be selling all these records if they didn't have fans. So I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I just really take a lot of the things that he says as an affront to just, like, my sense of human decency and well-being. It's just basic like that. And the only thing I don't like that I feel like I have to call out is that he's got a huge platform and, like, a big voice to all these people that, like, listen to him and, like, value the he says. I don't know. I just think it's kind of sucks. So we'll play the whole thing after the podcast.
All right. So it looks like Texas, I don't know. I guess I'd kind of call them art metal, doom kind of band.
They're very in-depth.
Trippy stuff. Stoners. The Sword are going to be putting out a new record. It's their first since 2012, so they've had 3 years to work on this new one, and Apocryphon was the last one. I actually got it on cassette tape and CD, and I jam it in my car because I only have a cassette player in my car, and it's f***ing sweet. It's a good record, and I'm kind of stoked to see what happens with it. So it'll be coming out later this year.
I'm curious about your tape player though in your car. I didn't realize that that's what you were rolling with.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I have a 2004 car, but why the f- did they put a tape player in a car in 2004? It's not like it's 1993.
We built this car for a 70-year-old.
Yeah, but you know it's fine because I have one of those adapters.
Right. So that you just plug it into your iPod.
Yeah,
or your
iPod
CD player,
or my phone.
Your skip-proof Discman.
Yeah, my Discman with 30-second anti-skip.
But do you actually listen? Do you listen to like legit cassettes in there ever?
Oh yeah, I got quite a collection actually.
Hell yeah! Because you totally should put that to use since you do have it.
Yeah.
Flex that.
I went to Value Village recently and I got every Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Jodeci, cassette tape, and they were all like 69 cents each.
All $5.
Yeah, it was like $10 I got every Tupac tape, every Biggie Smalls tape.
Living large.
Someone just seriously dropped all their gangster rap tapes from the
I downloaded all of these, so you guys can have my control.
It was badass.
The funny part is that they probably spent, you know, like $10-$15 on each one of those back in the day.
Yeah. From budget tapes and renting.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
No.
Max, first of all, you. Because did you not ever know about any of that?
I mean, like, I'm going to be
honest.
You don't
know anything pre-digital.
I ever bought was Limp Bizkit's $3 bill, y'all.
You know what's funny?
I'm part of the problem.
You know what's funny? I actually have a news story for that, sir. Because this past week, Wes Borland came out and called all Limp Bizkit fans roided out tribal tattooed spray tan jello shot filled bro hunks. He said that.
So true.
So he was talking about.
I have so many things to say.
He's speaking specifically about why he returned to Limp Bizkit after quitting in 2001. And get this, he said, people say you went to Limp Bizkit because your other band failed. No, those other things are not true. I went back to Limp Bizkit because I felt like I couldn't get out of my blood. I basically had Limp Bizkit AIDS and was infected. No matter what I did,
Limp
that
Bizkit
was me.
AIDS.
He said he had Limp Bizkit AIDS.
Right, because at the end of the day, he still wanted to play Break Stuff live.
Essentially, I think he just realized that's a paycheck for playing some easy-ass music.
Right, but he called it Limp Bizkit AIDS.
He calls it like it is, and you have to admire
it. Hold on. First of all, not
HIV.
Not HIV.
Full-blown AIDS.
Everyone's got AIDS.
He's going to die with it.
FBA.
He might die with it.
He's going to die on Limp Bizkit.
Man, you know, I can't even. I don't know. I want to just punch myself in the face at this point.
I'll admit that's the only guy in Limp Bizkit we rooted for, though.
I wasn't going to say it, but I also bought Limp Bizkit Significant Other on
cassette
tape.
Oh, you son of a bitch! Yeah.
And Korn Follow the Leader.
Yes! I was going to say, what are the other like things that you wouldn't mention on the podcast?
I actually had a conversation when I was in 7th grade with my friend Chris Crowley about what was the greatest band of all time, Limp Bizkit or Korn? And I was backing Limp Bizkit in that conversation. And that is something that is probably not a good thing to admit.
I think the thing is, though, Korn is still going and they make a lot of money.
True. And Limp Bizkit is still going and they make a lot of money in Europe.
Yeah, no, that's in Europe. Yeah, yeah.
They headline huge festivals in Europe.
Yeah.
And
you know who they're signed to? Young Money. A rap label, actually.
That's right. Really
That's
weird.
Kind of ironic.
The other thing I just found out,
Lil Wayne's
just
label.
As Metal Shop was ending tonight, Fred Durst is 5'6".
I'm taller than Fred.
Are you?
I'm 5'9".
Really?
Yeah.
I've had girlfriends taller than him.
I feel actually really good about
myself. It just goes to show that
right
all
now.
Like there's some kind of weird, not conspiracy, but body image thing where all the huge, famous, rich metal guys, they're short.
Small
yeah,
ones, complex. Man.
Like Joe C. He was 2'3" with a 10-foot.
That's a whole other level of real.
Is it? It's not like a small man, but like a David versus Goliath
kind of thing. It's the kind of thing where, like, dude, I'm not even going to speak to it. I just am in awe of it.
Yeah.
Every single
I mean, Jamie Josta is a perfect
let's
example.
Think about it. Kerry King, Jamie Josta,
Scotty Ian,
Scotty Ian, Dio, little guy. Rob Zombie, not very tall.
Really?
Who else are we talking about in here? Let's see. One guy that's not very short, it would be Zach Wilde.
Yeah.
He definitely would just stomp on you. But
Rob Zombie is an inch taller than me, which is very, very weird because I always imagined him being like a 6'5" kind of guy.
Yeah, Tim Lambesis like also would probably punch you in your throat. Right. Anyway.
If you were throwing a party, would it be terrible to hire midgets?
No
as
way!
Wrestlers?
Hold on.
As wrestlers? You know what? If they're cool with it,
then it's all game. Because
and can I say
set.
Midgets?
No,
and
you can't.
Not get in
it's
trouble.
It's little people.
Okay.
Can a midget say midget?
Maybe.
I think it's job security because there's people that make their job out of being that
little
person.
Person
for hire, right?
Right.
I don't know how we got onto this. Holy
shit. Money, we're cool.
Let's move on.
Young Money.
All right, so we were talking about that 24-string bass last week that Ryan was like, I'm not going to play it. F*** you, Ryan. You're totally going to play it.
You're not even here.
And I'm going to call you out because you aren't here. So suck it. Suck a 24-string. Anyway, last week at NAMM in Anaheim, Gary Holt of Exodus and Slayer unveiled that he has a new signature model guitar based on the ESP Eclipse. Which is kind of one of the answers to the, like, Les Paul.
Huh.
It's just a different, you know, from a different company. But the Gary Holt signature model is going to come in a high-end ESP version and two LTD versions, which is, like, the subsidiary. Like, there is Squire or Fender, like we were talking about that last week. So there's three new versions of this, and Gary explains. We have three price point models. You have the top-of-the-line, most badass guitar I've ever seen and been associated with. So you can get the top. And then you have over there, you have the black and red one, which I think is as stunning as anything. It's affordable and plays amazing and incredible guitar, middle-of-the-line one.
Yeah.
And then you have your starter guitar, which is better than anything I started out with as a kid. It's, like, awesome. And I'll tell you, the first guitar I ever got was a piece of... So if I got a Gary Holt model guitar to start with, you're on the right track. That's all I'm going to say.
Ian, what's the best guitar you've ever had and why?
I have so many of them now. My Gibson Les Paul Custom. I like it the most because it's the most balanced guitar that I own. Like body-wise, it feels really comfortable. And the sound is so rich. It's one of those things that you can only tell... After have playing so many guitars, the sound that comes out of any amp is just very warm and bright and sounds just like it was made with love. It's hard to explain. It's one of those, it's like a feel thing.
I feel very dumb because like those adjectives I can't wrap my mind around right now.
Right. Well, you're going to have to go to Guitar Center before it's all over.
Right. Why are you laughing? You're weird. Sorry, it has nothing to do with EDM. Get the fuck out.
Cool. We'll get him a guitar and a lesson.
I stopped being a while ago, so...
We'll get him a lesson. Anyway. Yeah.
No ghetto tech for you?
Saying.
None.
You can get three different versions of the new Gary Holt guitar.
Nice. So Anthrax has posted new album studio footage. These guys are... nominated for a Grammy, and by the time you hear this, we'll know whether or not they won. But to be honest, how much merit does a Grammy really hold?
Yeah, what were you saying, Max?
Days?
It was Tenacious D,
Mastodon,
Macklemore,
Slipknot, the negative one.
Yeah, we just stopped paying attention.
So it's like a top 40, but then you throw in the Tenacious. That's the one that made me be like, "This is a joke."
They throw in Tenacious D, and everyone goes,
"What?
Really?" Like, how much you have to... And then the f***ed up part is that they'll probably win.
That's the Jethro Tull of the group.
Right. If Tenacious D...
Who knows? Because they'll be like, we don't know any of those. We know who Tenacious D is, though.
They reference metal.
Right.
They are not metal.
Let's play some of this Anthrax, though. It's about a minute off their new record.
Sounds
so
good.
This is them
doing
rhythm tracks. There's no lead guitar on this yet.
Honing in the tone, and then I'll throw some guitar down. And
We're writing... vocal melodies for the new Anthrax record.
They wrote the songs, their chords, their parts, we're laying them down.
lovely chimes.
There you go.
That's awesome.
And it ends with hashtag Anthrax album 2015.
That's going to be kick-ass. Their last record, Worship Music, was a truly return to form. Obviously, they had Joey Belladonna back on vocals. He's still on vocals, right?
Yeah, he is, and he's still got really jet-black hair, man. Hasn't aged a day.
Oh, I'm sure that's not a wig.
What?
Huh?
yo, have you guys heard about the new Torch record?
Yeah, we actually got a copy up here in the studio, so I'm going to go home and review that and maybe
look at it. Look in depth. The artwork was done by our buddy Santos, who was on Metal Shop last year.
Santos kicks ass.
And I remember him posting like teasers of it throughout the year.
Really?
And if you look at it, I think you can take the artwork, the sleeve out, and fold it out into like a big, you know, artwork poster kind of thing. Anyway, the Torch has taken, you know, their approach to their new record really to a new level. They have designed a video game to play alongside, you know, your work day or just listening to the new record.
So I saw you know a window up, and it's I was a side scroller. What that was. Okay, cool. Yeah,
it's right. A side scroller, and it looks fun.
It looks a little bit like Contra. Almost.
Can we post the link on Metal Shop page?
Hell yeah!
So if you play the game and you use the hashtag Torch versus Robots after beating it, you can win a prize pack, which includes Restarter on vinyl, their new record out on Relapse, a T-shirt, two tickets to see Torch on tour,
yeah,
and of course some stickers. Gotta love stickers.
I love it.
So Torch really putting it out there for their fans, doing something fun. The last band I remember to do this was Avenged Sevenfold. Those guys made a crazy, crazy mobile game, and I actually listened to an interview with them on the Talk is Jericho podcast. One of the guys from Avenged Sevenfold, he was going super in-depth. He said they spent a load of money on that, yeah, of their own band money, to do it themselves.
And they probably made a bunch, too.
And here's the thing, and we should probably talk about that for a second, because in the Josta podcast, he gives all kinds of credit to that band, Avenged Sevenfold,
mm-hmm.
a band that we obviously don't play on Metal Shop, we never really have, probably never will, but they, as a band, have the correct attitude, which is the important thing, you know, that they're taking money that they have gotten as a band headlining shows or whatever and reinvesting it back into the experience for the fans. And, you know, anybody who gives a shit about their band, you know what I mean?
Before they take a humongous paycheck and right. whatnot and go buy, like, five condos.
Buy a Ferrari or whatever.
Then they actually just invested in the band because they realized that...
Buy a hitman to, you know, kill your wife.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Too soon, man.
That guy. But seriously, though, they realized that a bigger light show, crazy more... amount of fireworks.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff going on in the back. You know,
all the props. It's important for their fans, and then it makes it more like an experience. Then they can become the new Guns N' Roses, which they pretty much are.
I think that was the goal.
Yeah.
Well, good for them.
Becoming
at the end of the day,
Axl.
Whatever you... Yeah.
Minus the, like, 200 pounds.
Better than having Limp Bizkit AIDS.
Oh, yeah. Any day. Any day, dude.
All right. Another band to get on the alcohol bandwagon. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Like, floating. It's a surprise. But these guys are from Europe, so they probably actually have a good... The title of this article, Get Blind Drunk on Blind Guardian Merlot.
Oh, it's a wine?
That's awesome.
So Blind
Not like
Guardian,
a whiskey or anything?
No, they're making a Merlot, which is fine, you know.
Wine drink's fun.
There's a time and place for everything. So they Blind Guardian just put out a new record called Beyond the Red Mirror, and they're trying to make a push. You know, they've been around for 15, 16 years now.
They have a dedicated fan base for sure. Not everyone can fuck with that kind of like epic fantasy metal stuff,
right?
But the people who love Blind Guardian fucking love Blind Guardian and are obsessed with it. And I once saw this guy who used to come into Silver Platters when I worked there. And he had like 17 different Blind Guardian t-shirts.
Right. And here's the thing. Like, I remember watching
Obsessed.
The movie. You remember the movie Sideways? About wine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing they posted. And this is what always takes me back to any time somebody talks about Merlot.
Just try to be your normal, humorous self, okay? The guy you were before the tailspin. Do you remember that guy? People love that guy. But don't forget, your novel is coming out in the fall.
Oh, really? How exciting. What's it called?
Come here, Moss. Come here. Do not sabotage me. If you want to be a fucking lightweight, then that's your call. But do not sabotage me.
Oh, aye, aye, Captain, you got it.
And if they want to drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
No, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any fucking Merlot.
Okay, okay, relax.
Miles. Not drinking the Blind Guardian Merlot.
No Merlot. Did you bring your Xanax?
that's us talking to Max. Max, did you bring your Xanax? No Merlot!
Wow. If there's actually a real statistic, Merlot sales went down after that scene
yeah,
came
because
out.
Because Merlot sucks.
You know what? I like red wines.
Yeah, I know. So do I, but I don't like a Merlot. I'll take a Cabernet Sauvignon any day.
Oh.
Fancy.
Getting fancy.
Yeah, I'll fucking go there. I'll go there all day, motherfucker.
And what will you eat with it? Cheese.
A little bit of brie cheese with a little baguette.
Okay, Sylvain.
You.
Okay, so if you are someone who wants a lover in your life, lava, you can. Whoa, damn, dude.
That was my lung.
The black lung. You can
now.
Give someone VD. And by that,
yes.
I mean Valentine's Day cards, which are awesome. You can get everything from an Ozzy Osbourne card to a Dee Snider card that says, come out and play. But we have some really classic ones here. We got, of course, Lemmy from Motorhead, which says, love me like a reptile. Dio, you're my rainbow in the dark.
My rainbow in the dark.
And Ian, what's the King Diamond one?
Be my Melissa.
Yeah, we made a pretty loser. Funny video. You can go over to the KSW Facebook page and check that out. By now, you've probably seen
it. It's probably buried 3,000 videos deep anyway. All right, so Kevin, you were talking about Wes Borland and his Limp Bizkit AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're trying not to be, like, insensitive or whatever, but it's fucking funny, so shut the fuck up.
I mean, we're not being insensitive. It's Limp Bizkit, and they're a joke already, so we can already tell we're not being serious.
I think the thing is, though, that like if you have Limp Bizkit AIDS, no one's trying to fuck with you.
No
Sorry,
one's trying
Wes
to fuck you.
That's what I mean. No one wants Wes Borland in their band. So, Metal Sucks put together a list of all metal musicians currently infected by band-related diseases.
Jesus.
Each of them is following Wes Borland's courageous example.
Is the guy from Creed on there?
You want to read off a couple of these as we go down? There's a whole list. This it starts out with Scott Ian.
Uh-oh.
Obvious. Anthrax, Anthrax. How about Vinnie Paul? Hell yeah, herpes.
Oh no.
And it gets better as we go. James Hetfield. Metallica, malaria. Vernon Reed. Living color blindness. I am colorblind, so fuck you. I take that personally. Justin Brennan, most precious blood hemophilia. All right, here's one of my favorites. Freddie Christian, Madball cow disease.
Nice.
Sebastian Bach, Skid Row scrotal swelling.
Maria Brinks, ITM, UTI. In this moment, UTI.
Oh, no.
Michael Sweet, Striper Stockholm syndrome. Rob Cavis, Staney, Death Angel rigor mortis.
Claudio Sanchez, Coheed and Cambria and cancer.
Evil D, Morbid Angel, Morbid Obesity. Andrew Whiting, Panic, Attack.
Scott Hull, Pig Destroyer, Trichinosis.
And John Gallagher, Dying Fetus, Miscarriage.
Jesus Christ.
And Rick Allen,
One arm. Oh my God. Come on, dude.
That's good times.
Yeah. All right. They just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Nice.
I'm cool with that. All right. One of these issues that Kevin brought up this week is there is a national petition going around to have Metallica be the musical act for the halftime of Super Bowl 50.
Yeah,
James
man.
James Hetfield's older than the Super Bowl. Fun fact, I looked that up.
Yeah. Goddamn right he is.
51.
Okay, so did you guys watch Katy Perry's performance?
I fell asleep and woke up during it.
I was smoking weed and drinking and eating tacos and then kind of like glancing over and like, what the fuck is there's a shark over there?
Did you notice?
I'm high. This is too much for me. I gotta get the fuck out of here.
There was a right shark and a left shark. I was a big fan of left shark because he didn't give a fuck. He was so much than right shark. Right shark like had the routine down, but left shark was just like, fuck it. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Snoop Dogg.
Left shark. For Prez. Hashtag left shark.
Snoop Dogg went on Twitter and said he was a left shark. I didn't know if that was true or not, but I would love to believe that.
I don't give a f***.
I'd be like, yeah.
Oh, Sheezle.
Put me in that shark costume.
It was probably Lenny Kravitz. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't, because he was actually
in the performance.
He was on stage.
Can't
That's
be two
his
places
alibi.
At the same time, dude. I'm
two
down
places
with,
at once.
What would it be? Hashtag Metallica Super Bowl. Hashtag f***ing stop hashtagging.
Him. Hashtag Slayer for Super Bowl.
All right, it's that time in the Metal Shop Backstage Pass where we calm things down a skosh and enter the brutal poetry Too Hot for Radio Lounge. And tonight, Kevin is tackling an epic band called Viral Load off of their record, Practitioners of Perversion. Here's Axe Handle Enema.
Axe Handle, escape of a mental ward truly sick. His sickness built upon the victims he picked. Axe Handle fetishes his choice means of pain. Axe Handle Enema. Feverishly beat to death, eyes gnarled, fractured skull, your ass, he now reams. Fantasies now fulfilled, stench of piss and shit. His drugs are your screams. Shattered bones stick through your flesh, mind numb to carnage, immune to feeling. Intestines ripped from the corpse, axe handle stained with shit. Your end of being. Chop!
Chop!
Living in pools of
shit.
Your dead ass is split.
Split.
Bloody psychopath. Blood and pus filled aftermath. Humiliated dead is stained. Axe handle tasted. Now you are wasted. Killing intensely, splattered spleen torn away. Killing intensely, pumping you full of wood. Killing intensely, beaten to a bloody pulp. Killing intensely, bowels flow free. Axe handle, escape of a mental ward truly sick. His sickness built upon the victims he picked. Axe handle fetishes his choice means of pain. Axe handle, axe handle, axe handle, axe handle, enema. God f***ed.
God f***ed.
God f***ed.
I really got into that one.
Oh,
Jesus.
Snap you out.
Sometimes I scare myself.
Go home, man. We'll get you a little bit of therapy on the company's dime. That was Viral Load, Axe Handle Enema, on Metal Shop's Brutal Poetry. Gentlemen, it's been a fun week here on the podcast, and speaking of Axe Handle Enemas, might as well go out with a little Phil Labonte interview. Hey!
Yeah, let's hear from this guy. He's always putting his foot in his mouth.
So here's Phil speaking for himself. And it's the best we can do. So we'll see you again next week. Stay alive, and we'll see you in episode number 42.
Oh, yeah.
Phil Labonte, lead singer for All That Remains, isn't shy about expressing his views on politics, even when he's got an album out just to be released. Check it out.
Maybe this time it's always something less than what I thought we had before. Like always, I'm blown away.
The rockin' libertarian is here with me now. Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
So the album is about to be released February 24th.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's our seventh record, and nowadays to have the ability to do, you know, seven records, it's you know, an accomplishment. And so we're really proud to be able to put another record out.
And you should be. And so I intro'd with that because what astounds me about you is that you're about to put this record out. You want to sell albums, you want fans, yet you're really outspoken about your beliefs.
Yes.
And I think that takes a lot of cojones. Can I say that on the web? So, okay, let's start off with you're a libertarian.
Yes.
So, Bill of Rights, liberty, that is your jam.
Yep.
Okay, I want to talk about freedom of speech first. So you just gave a interview to Revolver magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, you referred to a statement that you made earlier.
10 years ago.
10 years ago, right. And you brought it up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read it. In 2005, on the Sounds of the Underground DVD, I said, PC is for F-A-G-G-O-T-S. That was the first time people went, whoa, what did he say? I have nothing against gay people. It's just a word. Honestly, I think the only people that have a legit grievance when it comes to any racial slurs is the black community. I know the homosexual community has problems with it, and I understand their hurt feelings.
Well, I think that the African-American community in the U.S. has, I mean, first it was slavery, then it's Jim Crow, and still today, our prisons are full of black and brown people.
Right.
So there's significant social problems for the black community.
Okay. Freedom of speech. I understand that it exists. I somewhat make a living off that, okay. Right? But why do you have to express that view so openly? What's the purpose of it?
Well, to stir the pot, to piss people off, genuinely.
Okay, that's fine. But see, that's the problem I have with it. And I'm saying this with all due respect, okay? Mm-hmm. If I say something on this show or another show, I say it to make a point, mm-hmm. right? But if you're saying it's to stir the pot,
well, the
what
point,
kind of point are you?
I'm sorry. The point that I'm making is that there's nothing too offensive to say. You know, like the Charlie Hebdo thing.
To you.
To anyone.
But that's just not true.
Well, there's things that people are going to be offended, but you can't control what offends someone, because one thing will offend one person. There's something that, and it won't offend another. So there's no litmus.
Okay, but Phil, I think there are some catch-all offensive phrases.
Absolutely not.
I think F-A-G-G-O-T is one. I think the N-word is one. Don't say that here. I'm just saying, not that you would, but I'm saying those are some. And for instance, I'll just, perfect example. I'm Indian. I've had people say the word dothead to me, and I find that really offensive, very hurtful. Whereas I have my best friends calling me curry in a hurry, and I have no problem with that.
Well,
see? But
curry okay. in a hurry. I like that.
Oh yeah. Hashtag curry in a hurry. So to me, my point is you want to stir the pot, mm-hmm. but how do you weigh that against that you are a businessman? Your seventh album is coming out. You want sales to be profitable.
Record sales and stuff like that are completely and totally not something that I concern myself with.
Okay, so
because
how do you reconcile saying such a word?
How do I reconcile? Because I think that if you're going to ban things or if socially things are unacceptable because they're too offensive, then you end up with things like the Charlie Hebdo attack. You know, you end up with people saying, you said this, so now I'm empowered to enact a violent response because of a word. And saying a word is not wrong. A violent action is an action. It is a
absolutely
pro
correct.
Action.
Absolutely correct. So, okay, so we put this into context for people who are watching, and most people do know this, that it's those fighting words. So saying the N-word in and of itself is not wrong, but if you couple that with a threat, with an act of violence, with that immediate fear, mm-hmm. then there's a problem.
Well, yeah, if it's a threat.
Listen, Katie, everybody here knows me. I have the worst potty mouth. I am like a
well, it's not the
driver.
Worst if there are words that offend you. Now, is it?
I curse up a storm. Mm-hmm. But I do think there is some.
But in a Christian, if you were to say that in a Christian household, if you were to say, you know, curse words, say,
right.
you know, or Jesus Christ or whatever, these things are very offensive to a Christian. I don't think they're offensive at all to me, but it's always...
But you're not gay and you're not black.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't mean that just because I'm not gay or black doesn't mean that I should be excluded from having any kind of comment on society or social commentary.
Why can't you comment on society, because I think your commentary is valuable. I do. I find you to be a very valuable voice in the music industry. Why can't it be less offensive?
Well, I mean, it can be, but it all depends.
Less offensive?
It all depends on the person viewing it. Piss Christ. That thing horrified Christians. I could give a crap. You know, I don't care. And I was raised a Catholic. You know, I'm an atheist now, but I was raised Catholic. I don't care that some dude put a picture of Jesus in a bottle of pee. Who cares? You know, and it's like, I think that people get offended far too easily. And I think that they get offended. Because it's almost like you're supposed to get offended by certain things. It's like there's pressure from society. If you're not offended, there's something wrong with
it. I agree with that, too. I agree. I want to just tell you one thing. So I heard this quote. And the quote is, it's better to be kind than to be right. And I remember hearing that quote. It's by Anne Lamott. I remember hearing it. It was January 2012. I heard that quote and it really changed my life. In that, I think if you go into that mindset, and for me, just being in court every day and being around criminals, sometimes just not to fight. So that's my personal view, is sometimes it takes place. And I think sometimes the words that you use skew or taint your message, which I feel is very important. I think your message is important, which is why I asked you to come.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I mean, I can watch my Facebook likes go up and down depending on what I've said lately. You know what I mean? I'm the kind of person that, like, I don't look like the rock star. I'm not the guy with the, you know, all the jewelry and the long hair. I'm who I am. And, you know, there's times when I'm going to say things that are offensive, and that's just the way it is. But I don't believe, or at least for me personally, I don't want to try to be something I'm not. And if I'm offensive, well, you know what? Then I'm offensive. But I'm just
putting that out there. I wanted to share that quote with you because I think it's important. It's helped me.
It is a nice quote.
Thanks.
It's a very great idea.
Okay, so before you leave, I have to ask you about Fourth Amendment issues. So Fourth Amendment protects us.
I do not consent to any searches.
Protects us from warrantless searches, arrests. Okay, so you were pulled over on a snowy road. You were in your bus.
Oh, yeah.
That incident,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So let me see. I have just the sum and substance of what you said. When you got pulled over, you were just hit by a car. The first thing the state trooper does is ask everybody for their names and dates of birth.
They asked the driver for everyone. Everyone was sleeping. It was early in the morning. They asked the driver, and I told the driver, tell him to go, you know, fly a kite. I'm not giving him anything because I'm...
Right, so you said in that quote that the trooper had zero authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Zero authority for what? What's your complaint?
There's no authority for him to, you know, require people that were in the bus sleeping to produce any kind of ID.
Can I explain? He is not trying to arrest you or accuse you. The trooper, part of his job is to protect you and the health and safety of everyone in that vehicle and to prepare a proper police report, an accident report. They need everyone's name. If someone gets hurt, they need that.
It doesn't change the fact that I don't have to show ID.
But what? Why?
Just because I'm in a vehicle that was hit by someone else. Now, I wasn't driving. We were sleeping. So I don't have to provide some kind of identification.
You are correct. You don't have to show ID. The driver does.
Yeah.
The passengers don't. You're correct. But why would you try to impede?
Because I don't consent to searches.
No one asked you to get out of bed and strip search.
I tell you what. It is straight up a libertarian principle stance. I don't have to, so I'm not going to.
Despite the fact that it was a dangerous situation, it was a snowy road, there was an accident, an accident report should have been filed, someone could have been sued, someone could have been hurt, and you want to ignore all of those.
Well, the accident, if you weren't seeing the accident, wasn't that bad.
I mean, you took a picture of it and put it on Facebook.
Yeah, it was a dented bay, so it wasn't that bad, first of all. But the point is, I mean, there's people in California that, you know, just drive up and down the highways just looking for the Border Patrol just to mess with them, you know what I mean, just to go and say I don't have to give you my ID, and that is a legitimate form of protest, you know, I mean, to say I'm gonna go out and go, whether it be, you know, the dudes that open carry or the dudes that drive up and down the highways and go to the Border Patrol and say, you know, film it and say, you know, I'm not giving you my ID. I don't go so far as to go out of my way to do that, but when it comes to, you know, I'm laying in my bunk and the bus driver comes and says, hey, give me your ID, the police want to, no, I'm not giving you anything.
The Fourth Amendment is there to protect us, and we have to believe that on some level it does. I wish we had more time because I really want to ask you about profiling and Edward Snowden and a million other issues.
I would love it.
So you'll come back?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
We're still friends?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I'm the one that would actually have to be worried about if I offended you. I mean...
Shockingly, not today.
If you say we're still friends, we're still friends.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay.
I appreciate that. All That Remains, much anticipated album, The Order of Things, will be released on February 24th, 2015.
The preceding audio belongs to CSNBC's The Shift Show, The Docket, with Seema Iyer.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.